represented by the four candles of the Advent wreaths. Both you can see in front of the altar and on our walls as well. Just three more days, the Christ candles will be lit on Christmas Eve as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, the Christ. And today we arrive at that deepest place of darkness, symbolized by the shortest day and the longest night on the winter solstice. Once the sun set at 4:15 this afternoon, it won't rise until after 8 o'clock tomorrow, thus giving us just short of 16 hours of darkness. How do you feel about darkness? I wonder, what is darkness to you? Is darkness a friend or a foe? Is it simply a physical state, or is it also a state of mind? How do you feel when you are in the dark? I have met people who were fearful of the long dark nights due to chronic pains, insomnia, mental illness, or past traumas. Then there are people who associate darkness with particular emotions. For example, some associate darkness with the times when they were scared, confused, frustrated, ashamed, under threat, feeling numbed, or feeling depressed. And during these dark times, they yearned for light. But there, I have also met people who find darkness as a friend, people who were fond of the stillness of the night as darkness ushered them to their much-needed rest. In darkness, their imaginations can run wild and the creativity gets replenished. Darkness, it is that space that because of the normal senses that relied on the most, which is our sight, is not available to us, or our other senses are being lifted so we can have a more discerning time in darkness. This morning we were told two stories over 700 years apart. Both stories features protagonists who were facing dark times of serious threats. First, we have Ahaz, king of Judah and a descendant of the house of David, a dynasty founded on fidelity to the God of Israel. Now, Ahaz, who was consumed by his fear of the two neighboring kingdoms of Aram and Israel conspiring to take over his reign, was considering alternative means of security by appealing to Assyria for alliance instead of resting assured in the Lord's steadfast loyalty to his house. God speaks through his prophet Isaiah to assure this fickle king that the Lord is not finished with Judah. To show God is still at work, Isaiah points to a young woman in the court, likely Ahaz's wife. She is pregnant, and Isaiah says that By the time the child is weaned, the two kings whom Ahaz fears will be no more, and their kingdoms will be destroyed. The child will be named Emmanuel, meaning God with us. In the darkness of desperation, fear, and confusion, the voice of God breaks through by reminding us of God's loving and faithful presence and opening a pathway of hope we did not know. Reagan Sutterfield, a priest of the Episcopal Church, in his post on Ecclesia, Substack, reflects on the creative dimension of Emmanuel in our darkest time beautifully. He said, "Emmanuel, God with us, or God abides with us." God's great creative act is not only to create the world, but to enter the very frame of creation, to be with us in the very limited, painful spaces where our fears can overcome our vision, our anxieties can keep us from waiting on God. It is here that God came. And some 700 years later, far from the palaces of those who think they are in control, instead, God comes to another young woman, Mary, inviting her into this new work of creation. Gone is the patriarchal system by which only male agencies count. Instead, In Mary, God brings a new creation, the Holy Spirit once again moving to create life from what seems to be chaos and scandalous. And for our part, most of us find ourselves actually closer to Joseph in the story we heard from Matthew this morning. We try to crisis manage. As a former executive director of an agency, I know this crisis management thinking really well. Usually, when there is a complaint or some negative feedback of service, of course, we will focus on the vulnerable persons first and foremost and do a full investigation of the complaint thoroughly. But at the same time, as a leader of an organization, the usual thing is also to devote a lot of time and energy in managing the communications to avoid a big public relations crisis, right? So more of us, when we find ourselves in situations of things that is outside of our control, that we do not desire, we immediately just jumpstart to manage the crisis. We try to clean up God's wild creativity by making the scandal of incarnation as respectful and tidy as possible. And in Joseph's case, he managed this crisis by his plans to quietly dismiss Mary, his unwedded bride with child. And God sends an angel in a dream to Joseph in his dark confusion to invite him to join Mary in this creative act of incarnation. And like Joseph, we too are invited to let go of our system of control and to discover instead the radically new creation that God is working among us this day, right at this time, in whatever form of darkness you are experiencing in your personal lives or in the lives of your community. By responding yes, Joseph was given a role in this work. And by naming Mary's son, he adopts him as his own, following the divine command to call him Jesus or Yeshua in Aramaic, the one known to us as Jesus. In Joseph's adoption of Jesus, he reflects the adoption Jesus opens to all of us to be sons and daughter of God. So Joseph, by saying yes and taking the posture of trust instead of to manage the crisis, joins the yes of Mary to enable God to carry out the divine will through them. Mary and Joseph does models for us that our every yes to God's call, regardless of how significant it appears at the time, may too enable God to carry out the divine will through us. Just imagine that. This season of Advent, you've been invited to experience breath prayer every day. And last Monday's breath prayer was a hesitant yes and still be holy. Friends, we do not need to understand fully to say yes to God's invitations. We may not need to have everything mapped out and have plan B and C figured out just in case God's plan doesn't work to say yes to God. A hesitant, even a fickle yes can still be holy and powerful to bring us into this promise of God that we may discover individually or corporately this season. So with our yeses, the journey of Advent is completed, as we are as ready as we ever would to conceive our call to bring forth what is holy and creative in our lives for the sake of the healing of this world. That is the child which God asks each of us, that God asks each of you to bring into the world. I will leave you with this question. How